Hello and welcome to the Three Inning Save podcast, NL West edition. We were a Diamondbacks Brewers podcast last week. We are an NL West podcast for two teams, at least today.
That's right. The Dodgers are true to their word. When they play a division series, they play a division series. They're playing the Diamondbacks, and we're going to talk about it. I like it.
Yeah, I think that's all there is to it. We'll break it down. We do not have questions for Craig. Playoffs are a little weird. We do this a little haphazardly. We'll have them next episode, one after that, something like that. But we have so much to talk about. It'll be fine. And maybe a slightly shorter episode. But we have a big series to break down after this.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes.
Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
So it was the Padres last year. Dodgers had, I think, like 50 wins more than the Padres and still lost.
Yeah, roughly. Yep. Exactly, because postseason things happen, right?
And this could be another year. The Diamondbacks swept the Brewers, looked really good. They had, more than a little lull in the summer, but to start the year, they didn't just have a good record, they looked good.
They were, I think if you count off days and everything, they spent 66 days in first place.
They looked the part, start, like a top of the end starting pitching, some really exciting young offensive players.
Yep. Corbin Carroll, like, is a star. He's going to be, like, maybe, like, top five MVP voting. He's gonna run away with Rookie of the Year. He's guaranteed to get at least one vote. I won't tell you how I know that. Every year, right, with Milwaukee, it's like, man, if you get Milwaukee in a series, they have this awesome pitching. Like, I don't know about their offense, but like they're as set up as anyone. No one wants to face Milwaukee. Two games in depth. That's the nature of the playoffs, right?
Can we do a real quick aside? Four sweeps, and I still didn't win the contest bet.
Yeah.
Starters going long.
Yeah, it's weird. I have a note on that a little later because I have a solution planned for this. Because we're recording this on Thursday instead of Friday.
But the league office just has to be like, really? We added a gazillion, like all of baseball makes the playoffs now, and we can't get one extra game. Those are the best games. The game threes, tension.
We have so many games that Michael Kay and Alex Rodriguez are calling games on TV, which is...
I did see a replay that Michael Kay called, and I forget what it was, but it was, yep, moving on.
So I don't. Was the Brewers Diamondbacks the Buchambi and Doug Glanville series?
I don't remember.
There was a lot of So the first night I was home. Second night I was at Dodger Stadium because Dodgers had a workout. That was the only one of the three workouts they had that was available to media, and they let fans in for like a very concentrated section. It was kind of a neat thing. They gave like pretzels and they were selling beer. They were giving, I think they gave water and a hot dog and no, not pretzels. I mean peanuts. Sorry.
They didn't even let fans in the Tropicana for the baseball game. So,
oh, brutal.
Oh, it's too easy. You're not a hip to the Reddits, I know, but I'm on the baseball server now and then. But I think every other post is how the low attendance at Tropicana.
Yeah, it was. I believe Tyler Kapner had a good article about it in The Athletic. They're game one attendance was like the lowest in a playoff game or something
since the Spanish flu.
Right, literally true. And it was the White Sox, right? Like in like the teens or whatever. So anyway, the Diamondbacks series. So that aforementioned strong pitching, Corbin Burnes, former Cy Young winner, great pitcher, led 3-0 in game one. He didn't make the fifth, and you still lost the contest. He didn't finish five innings. So they chased him in the fifth. They scored the last six runs of game one. They won 6-3. They trailed 2-0 in game two, the Diamondbacks did, and then they won 5-2. Their bullpen did not allow a run in 9 1/3 innings. So that means fourth year in a row, the Dodgers will play an NL West team, and the fifth out of last seven, because if you go back to 2017, that was also Dodgers Diamondbacks. That was a fun year because if you remember, the Dodgers had that crazy run. It was they had the 2013 run where they went like they were way under 500 early, and then they went like 42-8,
mm-hmm.
and you're like, 42, hey, how can you possibly tell that? And then 2017, they went 43-7. It's like, what? But so they had like a 20 game lead, like right at the end of August or in September. And then the Dodgers had like the wildest, like great team slump I've ever seen. They lost 11 in a row. They lost 16 out of 17. And they even got swept by the Diamondbacks. So that, in which J.D. Martinez hit four home runs in a game at Dodger Stadium, I might add. And so the Diamondbacks ended up, I think, finishing like 10 or 12 games behind the Dodgers. And they're like, oh, man, this is so good. And then the Dodgers swept them in the first round anyway. Like, it was just one of those things, right? But, like, and as an aside, that year was my favorite because I think – I forgot what – the Dodgers at the time set their Dodger Stadium record for home wins in a season and tied their franchise record for consecutive home losses. Like it was that kind of a weird year. But this year, the Dodgers were 8-5 against the Diamondbacks. But like you sort of mentioned earlier, it was like a tale of two seasons in a way. These two teams played the first two weekends of the year. Eight of the first 10 games of the season was Dodgers Diamondbacks. Mm-hmm. So it was all over the place. And the Diamondbacks won 5 of the 8, including 3 of 4 in Arizona. The Diamondbacks stole 12 bases on the Dodgers in those 8 games. They were just like running wild. And only 3 of them were against Noah Syndergaard, who is the worst at holding runners. The Dodgers won all 5 games in August because the Dodgers almost didn't lose in August, like just in general. So that's what got them the season series there. But the weird thing is like, so the Dodgers like absolutely owned the Diamondbacks pitchers who are probably starting this series. So the benefit to the Diamondbacks for sweeping sort of negated the scramble they were in because they used their top two starters, Zach Gallen and Merrill Kelly. They used them last weekend because they were still trying to secure a playoff berth. And so neither of them could go in game one against the Brewers. So they started rookie Brandon Pfaadt. and they won that game anyway. And then, so they use Gallen in game two. They were going to use Merrill Kelly if they had to in game three, but now they get Merrill Kelly in game one against the Dodgers. So it, let's say, lines up. But then you look, Merrill Kelly in his career in 16 starts against the Dodgers has a 5.49 ERA. He's 0-11. The Dodgers have won 14 of those 16 starts. One of those losses for the Dodgers came this year. It's weird. So, he's a very good pitcher. Even this year, he was 0-2 in four starts. The Dodgers won 3 of 4. He only had a 3.98 ERA. No home runs allowed. Last year, 8.25 ERA, 6 home runs, and 0-5 in five starts. He took the loss in all five games. So, he had two scoreless starts this year, although one of them, the game the Diamondbacks eventually won, they chased him in the fourth inning because his pitch count was high because he walked four batters. So, like, it's just a weird year. Zach Gallen, going to get Cy Young votes. He was 0-2 against the Dodgers this year, 11 runs in 10 innings. Brandon Pfaadt, in August, he faced them, in the second wave, because he wasn't in the majors in April. But he allowed 10 runs, 9 of them earned, in 8 2/3 innings. So, you look, right? Like, they're still going to be a tough team to face. It's like, oh, you're just, well, I guess it's going to be a Dodgers sweep. Look at how they're, but it's, it never works that way, right? Like, but Kelly and Gallen, again, excellent pitchers. Like, but it's wild how the Dodgers have had their number, right? Like, I don't know. It just seems that really. I think I probably knew Merrill Kelly was maybe winless, but I was shocked at 0-11. Like, just like that.
Like,
that,
yeah, 1-10, okay, but right. No win. Like,
that's like, did we talk about this earlier in the year where I didn't see what Zach Greinke finished at, but at one point, I believe it was on Effectively Wild, they mentioned he was. They mentioned he was 1-15 or 1-14 at the time, and I was like, "What?" Like, I didn't realize. But I think he won his last start. He was 2-15 on the year. Still great. But anyway, going back to the steals thing. So on the season, not just against the Diamondbacks, but the Dodgers' first 81 games of the year, they allowed 101 stolen bases, by far the most in the majors. Now, 20 of those were by Noah Syndergaard. who ended up, including his time with Cleveland, allowed 34. He's been, like, literally the easiest pitcher to steal on, like, every full season he's had in the majors. But even if you took away the Noah Syndergaard numbers, in that first half, the Dodgers still would have been third worst and, mm-hmm. like, two behind the worst, right? So they were very bad. In the second half, the last 81 games, the Dodgers allowed only 47 steals, and that's the second fewest in the majors behind Baltimore. So Dave Roberts talked about it a little bit. We had a Zoom call with him. Here's the weird thing. They had the only day Dodger Stadium was open to media this week of the three workout days was Wednesday. We ended up talking to Brandon Gomes, the GM, and Andrew Friedman, the president of baseball operations.
Who?
We didn't talk to Dave Roberts on Wednesday. But we did get a Zoom call with him today, which is just very odd. But it's just odd timing. But it all worked out. But he mentioned, Roberts did, they tried to work on a lot of things. They were taken a bit aback, right? It was the new rules. They just didn't properly, they weren't ready for it. they got taken advantage of in those first, few weeks of the year. But he said, varying looks to the plate. They worked on timing and just worked on a lot of stuff with the pitching staff. I looked to, Julio Urias was having his worst year, not just on the mound, but allowing steals and other stuff. Phil Bickford allowed 11 steals in 42 innings. Shelby Miller has allowed 8 steals in 42 innings, although only one since returning from the injured list. So he's gotten better. But also if you look, I think Shelby Miller has also barely allowed anyone to reach base since he's returned from the injury list.
So good way to do it.
That's the number one way to prevent steals is don't let people on base. That was the old Greg Maddux thing, because he famously was whatever, try to steal. Because there's also nobody ever on base against Greg Maddux. So that was the – but there has been you know, several Dodgers on base at times in the postseason in years past.
Yeah.
My question to you is simple.
What?
Who is the Dodgers' all-time postseason leader in stolen bases?
It's not as simple as you think, and I'll explain why after the break.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
I don't remember how this has come up in the past, but it's not this question, who is all-time postseason leader in stolen bases.
Yeah.
In that any kind of what I associate with sort of old school stat, stolen bases are not quite that, but still a little bit more prevalent sort of prior to the modern era, although maybe that'll change with the bases,
right.
Against the fact that there's just a gazillion more playoff games in the modern era. That's this really frustrating tension when trying to answer in trivia questions. You're not sure which way to lie. So I guess I'm looking at my I wrote down my three guesses so I wouldn't have to think too hard. I still erred a little older. And I've got my three guesses, and you're going to tell me I'm wrong on all three, and then that's it. I don't want no hints.
For sure.
All right, you ready?
Yes.
Maury Wills.
So he's the natural, right?
Right.
Like you great stolen base guy, literally like best in the league for almost a decade. Like just how he sort of transformed the, you know, brought it back into vogue, all that stuff. He did play in four World Series with the Dodgers too.
Right.
Right. And again, but you like you mentioned. Only World Series,
yeah.
quote unquote, only World Series, but 21 playoff games. That's a lot for only a World Series.
Right.
He did steal six bases in those 21 games,
and is therefore the leader,
which is tied for fifth in all time.
All right,
yeah.
I don't like my third guess. I might have to change it. Davey Lopes.
So Davey Lopes is the answer.
Yes.
So he played in, again, so 1981, they did have a division series because of the strike, and that was a one-time thing at the time. But they had the league championship series and World Series in 74, 78, 77 again, and 81. So he played 45 playoff games and stole 19 bases. He was only caught three times. So he is the leader. Do you want to take a stab at... There are two others in double digits.
I don't think I do. my third guess, and the fact that you were sort of talking about how few games, et cetera, was Pee Wee Reese, and then.
But that is a great guess because again, only even though he only played in the World Series. He played 44 World Series games for the Dodgers.
And I'm looking now, five stolen bases? Come on, yeah. Pee Wee.
So number two is Cody Bellinger. This is modern. Are you 69, kidding me? 69 playoff games. Nice. So I'll just to put it in perspective, right? So Pee Wee Reese stole five bases. So did Justin Turner. He played almost double the games, obviously. But Justin Turner, also one of the great like Dodgers postseason just hitters generally, players. But yeah, the reason I wanted to bring this up, because I wasn't sure exactly where he stood, but Mookie Betts is third with 12.
What would have been, like, if you made me make a guess, that would have been my guess.
He to me is the, in the regular season, not going to be running like crazy. Yeah. He takes him when he gets him. Postseason,
yeah,
he will take advantage, and so that was why it was front of mind to me. So we'll see what happens. Last year against the Padres, he did not steal a base. He was caught stealing, the only time he's been caught as a Dodger in the postseason. But also he was 2-for-19 or 2-for-14 in the playoffs. So like that's probably what that's the other. It's like get on base, then you could steal. So like that. That's how Dodgers are going to do it. Yeah.
So yeah, let's talk a little bit about the playoffs so far. I feel like in 2020 and then last year we had all these really exciting early playoff series, and whatever the opposite of dull is what we had this time around. Yeah. We had some good plays, but
right, like it's weird because the way the wild card is set up, like it's obviously like very concentrated most of the time with top heavy pitching, so there's the chance for like
real quick aside, you mentioned this kudos to the soothsayer Eric last week that like, hey, if the Diamondbacks sweep, the whole like, oh, the cost of being a wild card, you don't get to set up your pitching, they're good to go.
Right, yeah, and that's the thing, like. And I will say, because there's been, I posted something on Twitter about that before they swept, like as that possibility. And people were like, oh, we got to overhaul the system. Like, I get it to a point, except that the Diamondbacks also had to go through the extra step of, oh crap, yeah, we're starting a rookie in game one. So sure, they fought totally their way to do it.
I think the only thing that I have a nit about is this day off on Sunday.
Oh, right. So, yeah, and that's, this is what I wanted to get. This is my solution. So wild card round, 4 sweeps, terrible. What I was talking about, the like you'll have a series like I think two of them where the losing team scored like 1 run in 2 games or 1 or 2 or whatever it is. Like it's brutal. You're just done so quickly. Like the Rays, right? They had the early game both days, so 5 games into the playoffs, they're done. Like in the more like the day game on Wednesday,
right?
Dunzo, like they're out. So 8 so. Again, just to reiterate our bet, 5-inning starters in the wild card round. You said 8, I said 11. There were only 8 games, so only 16 pitching starts, but I somehow still won because there were 10 games of 5 innings or more. That did not include Jose Berrios of the Blue Jays, who got the early hook in the 4th inning against the Twins. Many Toronto fans and some players from post-game interviews I saw were not happy about that hook. So things are rough. The Blue Jays, I think, maybe took the mantle from the Twins of, oh my God, we're never winning a playoff game. The Twins won their first playoff game in 21 years, also their first series. But the Blue Jays are like 0-6 in the last 4 years in the playoffs. The 3 times they've made it, one year they didn't make it, and then the other
in
3
series,
years they
right?
lost.
They've won games.
No, 0-6 in games.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. What? They got swept 2-0 in 3 wild card rounds.
Why am I have like a weird memory of them winning a game last year? That's strange. Yeah.
I think the solution to what we have now, which is 2 off days before the division series start, there's 4 games on Saturday. I think they should stagger the American League and National League during the wild card round instead of the division series. So if you do that, let's say whoever starts first this year, it's probably the NL because that's how they sort of set it up. So you have the AL go first. There's 2 wild card games that first playoff day. Then you have 2 game ones, 2 games two on Wednesday. Then you have at least 2 games on today, the Thursday of the playoffs, and then potentially 2 more on Friday. And then you just – there's the day off in between. So the American League would start their division series Saturday, which is the case now. The National League would start theirs on Sunday with the day off after the Friday. So that way, at least as a league, like you're guaranteed at least 3 wild card days. and that ESPN has that around anyway. So, like, that seems like something that should be doable. But the reason they have to stagger the leagues, because for the later rounds, when it's division series and championship series, it's so they try to have games on as many days as possible, right? You can't have the off days on the same day, that kind of a thing. So I think it's better to stagger it earlier. So their solution now in this new format to stagger is to insert a weird off day in the division series.
Very weird off day.
Yeah.
And again, it just takes away some of that sort of advantage that's supposed to be around behind getting a bye.
Right. And like you mentioned, so with Merrill Kelly now getting to go game one, the off day allows Zach Gallen to go game two for the Diamondbacks. And because of the way that round is set up and that off day, both of them could start 4 and 5.
Yeah.
So you get your top two starters. I will say, Dave Roberts, I asked him about this today. He's like, I like it. You know, like, I like the off day. Like, so I'll get to that in a second. But I just wanted to I think if you stagger it in the wild card, like, I forgot last year. I did not realize, I guess, that the AL had an off day.
Yeah.
Like, because I was watching the NL, right?
Like, going, like, that's kind of weird. Doesn't affect my team. Thing, it's fine.
Right. And it's like, okay. And I think there was a rain out late in one of those series. I think the Yankees and Guardians, to where it like negated that, or like, you know, it, whatever. It was just weird. But you have the situation. So like you said, there's game one off day, game two off day, game three, game four off day, game five. So 5 games, 8 days. So you're basically like, you could also use, here's what Dave Roberts said. So after he said, I like it, I think it's a benefit to us. If you talk to Torrey Lovullo, the D-backs manager, or any other National League manager, they probably feel the same way. It's giving guys rest. It's using all your pen guys with an extra day of rest. I think that's an underrated part of this.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And Robert says, and getting to use your 1 and 2 starters twice in the series potentially. So I think it's good. Now, I think if Andrew Friedman was also asked about it last night, he said, it allows for different scenarios we've been afforded in the past. Those off days are an advantage. We'll use it, and we'll figure out the best way to use that to our advantage. So they're sort of looking at it like it's a plus. And I think, aside from the starter thing, I think we can use our top three relievers,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
like 4 games minimum in the DS, and maybe 5, because the only time they'd go back-to-back days is games 3 and 4, and they always have an off day otherwise. So like, that's the big, because you're basically shortening every game to 6 innings, like, in that regard, right? So that's where it gets weird. So to that end, so speaking of how you sort of utilize this, Clayton Kershaw officially starting game one, we sort of knew this, they made it official Wednesday. The team also seems comfortable using Kershaw on 4 days rest. So, like, if it came to it, he could start game four. Now, they're not committing to anything beyond games 1 and 2. We'll get to that in a second. Kershaw has not gone on less than 5 days rest since returning from the injured list. Now, part of that was managing him, because the shoulder injury was worse than we thought and worse than they let on. And I think it was like getting him through the regular season while keeping him regular and trying to get him back on track, as his command was off and all this stuff. And I asked Friedman directly that on Wednesday. He said, we are. He feels he's ready to do it. And Friedman, I think, said, for me, he's the best competitor I've ever been around. So, like, they're trusting him, right, in this scenario. So, and I think that Roberts today, on Thursday, mentioned the using two starters twice. He's not, like, necessarily, like, guaranteeing that Kershaw's going game four. Like I said, they're not committing to that yet. But I think it's pretty clear that that's what they want to do. Kershaw, game one. Miller, game two. Those two, game 4 and 5, if it gets to that.
Now, what about game 3?
So, Game three, Lance Lynn on Thursday, as we're recording this, probably he's probably done by now, is through four innings in a scrimmage, and would leave him on 5 days rest for game three. Roberts did say Lynn, like, again, wouldn't commit to specific thing, but he said, you know, given that he's pitching tonight, he's not going to be available in games one and two. He's in play for game three, was how Roberts put it. So I think it's safe to pencil him in there. We'll see how they do it. So this gets us to what I wanted to sort of talk about. We sort of, like, you know, two episodes ago, we said, well, the position player battle stuff is not as prevalent as I thought it was going to be, but maybe it is in a way. So Roberts on Thursday said they'll probably go 13 pitchers, 13 position players for the division series. But he did say 12 pitchers is possible. So in that scenario, I would imagine, like, there's really no, unless they're, like, really high on, like, Johnny DeLuca or something, but, like, I would imagine Colton Wong is just the guy, right? Like, as the position player. But so Roberts did mention debating on whether to carry three left-handed pitchers. So I believe in that scenario, he didn't mention names, but I mean, it's basically Caleb Ferguson, Alex Vesia, and Ryan Yarbrough. I think we talked maybe last episode about how Ryan Yarbrough, depending on the matchup, might, you know, maybe they don't need him as much, like, in that role. I don't know. Who knows? But, like, and then, so just looking for reference, I listed here that the Dodgers have the 27 players who were quote-unquote active. That includes Lance Lynn, who was on bereavement leave the last 2 days of the regular season. Victor Gonzalez was active. I think the question becomes, how much do they need a piggybacker, like, or like more than one, right? Because I think in this scenario, if Lance Lynn is probably going game three, you figure Ryan Pepiot is in play to be probably the Kershaw follower. Another possibility there is Emmett Sheehan, who very much distinguished himself in September, but he's also behind Pepiot on the depth chart. So I think that we talked about how maybe, like, Michael Grove might have been odd man out in a playoff roster scenario, but I think they might prefer Grove, who they've at least used and seen in shorter bursts, and he's been really good at it. Whereas Sheehan is the bulk guy, and, like, who they trust. Maybe in the later series where it's seven games and only two off days, that's more likely for Sheehan to either be a piggyback or even potentially start a game or something if they want. So I think you could see a scenario where, like, Grove makes it over Emmett Sheehan, and then it's just a matter of, like, so I guess that's it, basically. that could be the choice. Or if they decide, maybe we don't need Ryan Yarbrough or something.
Like, right.
But I think that's kind of it. Like, do you have any thoughts on the roster?
I can't. I understand, with especially with the off day, the composition change there.
Yeah.
She was too good at the end of the year to leave him off.
I think I agree. I literally wrote about him today. Like, to that. Like, I think it's very clear they're very high on him. I will say, because I asked
Roberts. And to me, that feels, sorry. No, you go ahead. Go ahead.
Oh, no. I was just going to say, the only thing that gave me pause, I said, do you think it's fair to say that his, because to me, when I was thinking of Sheehan, they sent him down in August. I kind of thought he was done, like, for the season, right? Like, kudos to you. You made the majors from AA. Held up while he had some really good games. His ERA was in the fives. Like, it was, but, you know, growing pains. That's just, yeah. He also only pitched three times in August. Like, and he was, like, about 20 innings more total than he pitched all of last year. So they're not going to push him at this point. But then, and also when they comes to call up time for September, he was literally the only healthy pitcher left on the 40 man, which is why they called him up. And then he's just been awesome. Like, to a point, right? It's 360 ADRA, but 39% strikeouts, like just dominant at times. And they talked about that. So the thing that gave me pause is how Robert said, you know, how I said, do you think Sheehan, like with his September, pitched his way into October relevance? Or because, you know, I'm not going to say, is he making the roster? Yeah. He's not going to say that. So, but he said, absolutely, like into the relevance part. But then he said, how that plays out, I don't know, which is usually code for he's not making it, but not officially, but like that's just how they say it. But he did say, but just like, you know, making yourself like relevant for October baseball is a feat in itself.
Yeah.
Right. He's giving him credit while also like leaving the open the possibility.
Sure.
But so that's the only thing I could think. So I think if they want to use Yarbrough, which is fine, because I think the Diamondbacks have a number of left-handed batters. Like if you want to do like he could be like a two inning guy or something with like facing four or five lefties or something. You can live with that, and then you just use Grove in the short burst rather than Sheehan. That's the only thing I'm
I get there. Now come, knock on wood, in the LCS situation, that becomes much more interesting.
I think you have to you have to roster him at that point. Like, but then I guess there's also there could be, you never know what stuff, like Shelby Miller was pitching the other day, like. I don't know of any, like, there could be, like, other injuries we don't know about yet, right? Like, but it seems like everyone's been pitching. Like, Gavin Stone pitched four innings in the sim game on Thursday. So he's, like, around, right? Like, he's so I will say this. I will ask about this tomorrow. Yency Almonte, who has been out since August 11th, I think that's when he last pitched. He did pitch one rehab game in... Was it the Triple A? Oh yeah, he pitched in the Triple A championship game for Oklahoma City. He started, and they did a bullpen game. So okay. He struck out two. I think he allowed I forgot if it was a walk or a hit, but he posted on Instagram 3 days ago. I did not see him Wednesday at the workout. He was there. I just didn't. He was in the clubhouse when it was open. He posted on Instagram the other day, like, you know. Season didn't end the way I wanted, blah blah blah, and it was like a montage of pictures from the season. Do you post that if you're gonna be like available like in a later round? Like, I don't think so. So I was gonna ask, like, is he done? Because he was a couple weeks ago at least, it was like, if he's ready, it's not gonna be till like NLCS or beyond,
right?
Whereas Daniel Hudson, I believe was he was supposed to pitch in the simulated game Thursday. He's on that same track, NLCS, like early, at the earliest, and still kind of probably a long shot, but like at least he's sort of staying active. I don't know if Yency Almonte's pitched, so I plan to ask him about that Friday or Saturday, because it's possible that he's just done for the year. But I also think he, like, working him back in would have also been a long shot too, so like you never know, but like you just don't know. We'll find out Saturday morning what the rosters are, but that's pretty much where we're at the moment. So yeah, I think it's going to be a good series.
Yeah, it should be fun. I've mentioned it multiple times, this Diamondbacks team is a fun team, so
yeah
frustratingly sure. So obviously at times when you're facing them, but it should be a great series. Addendum. The reason why I thought the Blue Jays had won a game was that wild 10-9 game in game two of the wild card last year, where the Mariners scored five runs in the eighth and the ninth. I was like, yeah, the Blue Jays got that one, because it felt like two games. So
yeah, they had like, I want to say, a 5 or 6 run lead in that game at some point, and then lost. It's like it's been a brutal couple years for them. But yeah, that's where we're at. We're going to have some mid-series stuff. We'll figure it out. These off days, we could have a lot of podcasts. we'll see how we feel, but like,
yeah,
we'll see how it goes.
We'll definitely try to get one. We'll definitely get one in as the series goes to Arizona. I'm not so sure between game one and two, but we'll see.
Well, we'll probably like. You say that now, when Kershaw pitches six innings and
a perfect game,
Ryan Papio has a three inning save in the playoffs, we're doing an emergency in this podcast if that happens. So no, you never know. But yeah, it should be exciting. Game one Saturday. Hope you enjoy it. And we will be back with you in a few days. At some point you'll know. We'll keep you posted. But yeah, that's it for the three inning save. I'm Eric Steven. That's Jacob Birch. Brian Salvatore does all the stuff behind the scenes. Thank you so much, and we will talk to you later.